Now let's take a very brief look at the actual life of Adam Smith. Smith was born in 1723 and passed away in 1790. He came from Kirkcaldy, which is about 11 miles up the coast here from Edinburgh, another city which will play a role in our story. And by the way, Glasgow is over here, and this, of course, is Scotland, which is north of England. It's an old tale, by the way, that Smith, when he was 3 years old, possibly was kidnapped by gypsies, though if that was the case, he was later found and released. Anyway, the possible kidnapping aside, Smith appears to have had good foundations in his early life. He had a good early education. He studied English composition and a lot of Roman history. His father passed away shortly before Smith was born, but the friends of his late father, it seems, actually helped introduce Smith to a lot of early Scottish Enlightenment ideas fairly early in Smith's life. Smith went on to do his studies at the University of Glasgow. There he was taught by Francis Hutcheson, a still famous Scottish philosopher, who had really a quite significant influence on Smith. Hutcheson was an early utilitarian, and he also pioneered the notion that human beings have a natural or innate sympathy for each other, and this idea later played a major role in Smith's first book, Theory of Moral Sentiments. In the 1740s, Smith studied for several years at Oxford University, and this appears to have made less of an impression on him. When you read Wealth of Nations, he actually attacks the endowed educational institutions for not teaching very well, and it seems that Oxford was one of those he had in mind. Nonetheless, going to Oxford exposed Smith to the English economy, which was wealthier, of course, than the Scottish economy at the time. And when Smith first traveled to England, he notes that he was really quite struck by just how much better off and wealthier English agriculture was. Anyway, Smith ends up working as a freelance lecturer at the University of Edinburgh, and he worked under a kind of fee system where the greater the number of students he attracted to his class, the more he was paid. Smith overall was a popular lecturer, and he later endorsed this fee system in his Wealth of Nations. At Edinburgh, Smith taught philosophy, civil law and jurisprudence, and astronomy. By the way, some number of Smith's lectures later have been published. It was also in Edinburgh that Smith struck up a close friendship with David Hume. Hume was arguably the greatest philosopher of his era. He was also a very significant writer on economics. Until Hume's death in 1776, Smith and Hume were really quite close personally and intellectually. They exchanged manuscripts and ideas, and they had what was really one of the most formidable intellectual partnerships in the history of human ideas. Smith then moved on from Edinburgh, and from 1751 to 1764, he was a professor at the University of Glasgow. There he taught logic, English, rhetoric, and criticism, among other topics. Smith, in one of his letters, once said that this was the happiest and best time of his life. It also seems to be the time when he formulated and started writing up a lot of his basic and most fundamental ideas. In 1759, Smith publishes the first of his two major works, and that is called Theory of Moral Sentiments. This book is a philosophical, psychological, and even occasionally economic investigation of what it means for human beings to have sympathy for each other, or in other words, the ability of one human being to understand the suffering or moral feelings of another. You can also think of this as a book which explores the implications of what it means for human beings to be motivated by a quest for approval or approbation rather than just narrowly economic motives. For a long time, scholars have debated whether Theory of Moral Sentiments and Wealth of Nations fit together as one coherent whole, or whether they in some ways contradict each other. But over time, the impression has been that actually Moral Sentiments and Wealth of Nations are covering different aspects of human existence, and they do form a well-integrated whole. In any case, Theory of Moral Sentiments made Smith a well-known figure in European and especially British intellectual discourse. Looking back from the present, it's very difficult to know just what Adam Smith really was like as a person. We do know that he was somewhat sedentary. He loved very much to study. He never married or had a family. He remained close to his mother throughout the life of his mother. And as he was described, he was considered typically to be somewhat absent-minded, that he had strange ways of walking and talking. He was known to talk to himself a fair amount. Sometimes he would get carried away talking to others, communicating great amounts of detail very rapidly. One description of Smith ran as follows, and I quote, "He had a large nose, bulging eyes, a protruding lower lip, a nervous twitch, and a speech impediment." Again, looking back, we're not sure how many of these accounts are true or how much truth is in them, but still it seems that Smith was in some considerable ways fairly eccentric. After Edinburgh, Smith starts working as a tutor, and this allows him to travel more. So in 1764, Smith makes a trip to the continent for about 2 years, and he ends up going to Geneva, Toulouse, and Paris. And of course, there he's seeing some additional economies and political systems, and it seems this time had a great influence on the writing of Wealth of Nations. He met many of the famous French philosophers of the era, such as D'Alembert, Diderot, Holbach, and Helvetius, and he also met Quesnay, who was the leader of the physiocrats and who exercised a considerable influence on Smith's economics. In 1773, Smith ends up back in London, where he spends several years polishing the finishing elements of Wealth of Nations. He also spends a lot of time working with Parliament debating American affairs and what Great Britain should do about the colonies. Finally, in 1776, Wealth of Nations is published. David Hume had expressed worry, actually, that Smith was taking too long to get the work out, and Smith was well known for being a very slow writer. The work did make a splash at first, but nothing compared to the influence it would have over time. After Wealth of Nations, interestingly, Smith ends up actually working as a commissioner of customs for several years, starting in 1778. We'll have an entire video devoted solely to this episode of Smith's life. Finally, Smith ends up retiring to Kirkcaldy, which is where he came from. And in 1790, Smith passes away. When Smith passed away, he was working on two manuscripts which never came to light. One supposedly was on the history of law and government. The other was on the theory of the imitative arts. Recall that Smith's early lectures were often on English and rhetoric, and that Smith always thought of himself more as a philosopher than an economist. Nonetheless, Smith strongly insisted that whatever he had written be burned at the time of his death, and so these works have never come to light. For further reading on the life of Smith, the most classic biography is by Ian Ross. That's called simply The Life of Adam Smith. Available cheaply on Kindle is an earlier but still classic biography by John Ray, Life of Adam Smith. A more recent work, which focuses on Smith's relations with the European continent, is by Nicholas Philipson. Also, Google and Wikipedia will yield up many interesting smaller entries.